Can you hear me? You can.
Great.
So my name's Mike, I'm part of the leadership team, and I'm here just to share some reflections with you that came out for me as part of our recent week of prayer. I've chatted these through with the leadership team, so this comes with the approval of the leadership team. You'll be pleased to hear. But first of all, a question, a very important question. Take a moment to think, what's the best and most satisfying meal you've ever had? What was it, a special occasion? A special person who cooked it? Was it a special place? Did you have to dress up? Did it cost you a lot of money? Take a moment to tell the person next to you what that special meal was. Great, okay. I've been prompted by Malcolm that Patricia has a fantastic meal to tell us about.
Pete and I just got married and we went to Lyme Regis and we went into this very posh pub and the man offered us a lobster because it was cheap because it had thrown a claw, and he offered us a table and we said, no, we want to go and sit on the wall by the sea. And he served us on the wall by the sea with this marvellous lobster. And I was 21, it was 1956. It was fantastic.
Fantastic. Lobster by the sea. Doesn't get much better than that. Okay. So as your mouth is now watering from the meal that you've recalled, I want to read you some verses from Psalm 63. This is a psalm that David wrote when he was on the run in a desert, possibly being chased by his son who wanted to kill him. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. I will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. I've been stirred by the Lord to think about what these verses mean for me. How satisfied do I feel with God? How convinced am I that God's love is better than life? Does knowing God conjure up for me the same sense of satisfaction as a memorable meal? This was brought home to me recently through a talk that Andy did as part of our series going through Luke. Do you remember? He went through Luke 5 and it was the paralyzed man coming through the roof brought by his four friends. And Andy laid a bit of a challenge to us at the end of that talk. You might remember it. What lengths will we go to bring our friends to Jesus? Who can we bring by all possible means to meet Jesus? That was the challenge he gave us. And that can feel a bit difficult. That can feel a bit kind of onerous, a bit challenging, can't it? A bit duty-led. But then I was reminded of the encounters that Philip and the woman of the well had with Jesus. Do you remember Philip in John chapter 1 meets Jesus? And he wants to tell his friend about it, Nathanael. And he comes bounding up to Nathanael and he says, come and see the man that I think Moses told us about. And Nathanael, in pure sarcasm, says, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And Philip says, I don't know, but come and meet him. There's a compulsion in Philip to bring Nathanael to his friend. And then there's the woman at the well. Do you remember in John 4? Jesus offers her living water. Water that she'll never have to thirst again. And she bounds off to the village, doesn't she? Do you remember? She's having spoken with Jesus. She bounds back to the village. And she goes to her friends and says, come and see. Come and meet the man who told me everything I did. That's the heart of evangelism, isn't it? Introducing our friends to meet the real Jesus. Philip and the woman were captivated by Jesus and compelled to tell others. Do we share Philip and the woman's compulsion? That's what I think I've been challenged about. Are we captivated by Jesus in the same way? Because your love is better than life. My lips will glorify you. I will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. What is captivating you today? What is shaping our time and our priorities? I've been challenged to ask myself, is it Christ? Are we going to give ourselves the opportunity in the week ahead to be captivated? Are we hopeful of meeting and hearing from him when we read the Bible through the week? Do we find ourselves keen and eager to meet with him in Scripture? Are we giving ourselves the chance to meet up and encourage one another towards loving Jesus? And I think I'm talking to us men particularly. The language may be a bit off-putting, too emotive perhaps, perhaps even a little bit melodramatic, because your love is better than life. My lips will glorify you. I will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. Sounds a little bit over the top. It's a big claim. But I think we do well to reflect on David's conviction. Now, the statement doesn't take away from the hard yards of working out our salvation. We need to invest in our relationship with God. But reflect on Philip and the woman at the well. They were so caught up with the excitement of meeting Jesus. They were so captivated by him, they couldn't help themselves. They were compelled to speak to their friends, saying, come and see, come and meet the man who told me everything I needed to know about life. I was recently reminded of Paul's words in his second letter, where he writes that we have everything we need for a productive and effective life. And those are given to us in the promises of God. That's what Peter says. The promises of God will lead us to a productive and effective life. Which of God's promises do you cherish? Which ones remain in the foreground of your mind during the week? An important one for me is John 10:10. I have come that they might have life, and have life in all its fullness. Knowing Jesus gives us a rich, full, and satisfying life. That's what he promises us. Because your love is better than life. My lips will glorify you. I will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. Do we believe that? That's what I feel challenged about. Now, has anyone heard of Horatio Spafford? David has, good man. It's not a name you're likely to forget now you've heard it. But he's someone, I suspect, who knew with conviction that God's love is better than life. He wrote a hymn that we're going to sing in a moment called It Is Well With My Soul. Do you know the hymn, It Is Well With My Soul? The lyrics are all the more powerful when you hear when he wrote them. He was a successful and wealthy man. He was a solicitor in Chicago at the end of the 1800s. He was married to a Norwegian woman called Anna, and they had four daughters aged between 11 and 2. He owned loads of property in Chicago in the north of the city, and in 1871 there was a fire that came to be known as the Great Fire of Chicago, and it reduced most of the city to ashes, and Spafford lost pretty much all of his wealth. 2 years later, in 1873, the family decided to go on a visit to England. The wife and the daughters went ahead on a steamship. Spafford was caught up in work. They went on ahead to the visit. Tragically, the ship crashed, and 226 people drowned, including all four of Spafford's daughters. He received a telegram from his wife that started, "Saved, alone." Spafford then set sail to join his wife, taking the same shipping route that his daughters had died on. And it was during this voyage that he wrote the hymn we're about to sing. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. What is holding your satisfaction and captivation today? Ask the Lord to show you. And if it's not Christ, repent. And ask God and each other for help. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, David makes a big boast. We pray that you would help us to be able to boast with David that your love is better than life. That we are satisfied as with the richest of foods because we know you. Stir us, Lord, to see those things in our lives that captivate us, that aren't you. May your Spirit be at work in us to show us those things that we need to bring to the cross so that you may take center stage of our lives.